Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday, almost a Thursday morning out there. Western and Northwestern Oklahoma, welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour and get into all kinds of stuff. We didn't hit that story with ESPN, and it is getting more wild with the Bishop Sycamore team. Craziness going on there with Bishop Sycamore versus IMG Academy. How in the world did that happen? Talk about that. College football, obviously the big note around here, the Oklahoma-Tulane game has been moved to Norman, 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So it's going to be a home. It's going to be a home game, at least in location for the Sooners. But it does sound like maybe your hope and dream for the game is going to come true. It does sound like the Sooners are going to wear their road whites.
Do they have to
in Owen Field?
Do they have to be inside the visitors' locker
room? I don't
room?
Think it's going to go that far.
All the pregame stuff is more Tulane centric.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I think they're just going to have white jerseys.
Okay,
and maybe that's I would even doubt if they're the visitor on the scoreboard inside Memorial Stadium. But I do. It does sound like they're probably going to wear their road white uniforms there on Saturday. So, talk about that. Also, big games nationally and in the Big 12 coming up on Saturday. What are they? Home openers now for both OU and OSU, and then around the conference and around the country. Which games are you the most excited about to see? Which games have the most national implications for later on or even in the conference? And then also, right here at the top, kind of a first look at what's coming up this week on the high school gridiron. Some games that look enticing to watch. I know we'll both be out and about on Friday, being able to take in a couple of games of the local area schools. So, big week around the state. There's a huge, colossal, titanic matchup over in the eastern side of Oklahoma that we can talk about as well. Jared?
What's going on?
What just happened?
Buddy of mine obviously is listening. He just texted in a funny joke about this whole ESPN high school football thing that we're about to dive into.
Yeah, I mean, we missed it yesterday just because it's on Monday. The time is so shrunk with Jim coming on at 9:30. It feels like waiting for about 10 minutes. So kind of explain to the listener
what you know,
and then I'll add what –
That IMG Academy, they're showcasing a lot of high school football games, ESPN that is, that featured a lot of D1 commits and or prospects. IMG, of course, is a factory of D1 prospects for the country. I mean, OU is plugged in there a lot and got some guys. And they're out of Florida, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, IMG Academy.
Yeah, Bradenton, Florida.
Yes, and they were playing a team, Bishop Sycamore was the name?
Bishop Sycamore from Ohio.
From Ohio. They, too, were touting that they produce a lot of D1 guys and have a rich football history. Turns out that wasn't really the case. Turns out that the story got wilder and wilder even last night. I think you probably have more than I do, but apparently they had played like two games in 3 days, and they're not even a real high school, and some of these guys may or may not even be in high school. And they just were getting demolished by a real school, and it just sounded like they pulled the wool over ESPN's eyes and duped them. To putting them on TV, it drives. I mean, again, we kind of talked about it yesterday a little bit. We didn't really dive into it, but drives me nuts that there's not one person in ESPN that did a Google search. That did a little bit of work, and I know they outsourced this to find these teams, but couldn't the common man just go, "Wait a minute, couldn't a guy, isn't there a guy who's from Ohio who said, who works for ESPN, said, well, I've never heard of this team, and I'm pretty plugged into Ohio athletics, especially high school Ohio athletics. I've never heard of this monstrous team that's worthy enough to play IMG Academy. And ESPN is looking more and more like they got egg on their face on this one.
Yeah, it's funny how...
Because now, what do you know? What's the latest that you've heard?
All the stuff that you just said. So basically, Bishop Sycamore, literally, there's not a brick-and-mortar school.
No. And that's not unheard of.
No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's those homeschool teams around the state of Oklahoma.
Some are pretty good.
Yeah, and you can find some good ones.
Basketball-wise, some are real good.
Absolutely. So it sounds like it's kind of like one of those, or even like a... just a diploma mill type of place. And honestly, you see this in basketball mm-hmm. way more than football. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why it kind of duped. But yeah, when you go back and listen to, like, Tom Luganville, I mean, here's
they realized something was
up. Oh, like second quarter, like, wait a minute. But here's the thing, like, so Tom Luganville is, like, the head recruiting guy for ESPN. Okay, and so there's the third party outsourced group that kind of comes up with these games and supposed to vet the teams, I would think, for ESPN. It's called, unfortunately, Paragon Marketing. Unfortunate for us, anyhow.
Completely
different. It's not
no
us.
No relation.
It's not us.
Yeah, we're not affiliated with that Paragon.
And so, you know, they go around and basically create these games. And so that's Bishop Sycamore's selling point was, oh, yeah, we've got a bunch of guys that are going to be D1 athletes. And so, you know, they take that at face value. But how in the world does Tom Luganville not look at the roster and then look and go, wait a minute, we don't have any of these guys ranked?
And yeah, so, where was his prep work?
Where was he? Yeah, that's
where
what I'm saying.
Where was he, like, Thursday night when he's making up a spotting board or sitting down looking at these rosters to have talking points and know their last year's stats?
Yeah.
This guy ran for 1,000 yards last season.
And every time, every time, like you said, you see guys that are either committed or being recruited by or whatever, and they always flash the little marquee up that says, number 27 in the ESPN top 300.
Exactly.
Committed to so-and-so.
Yeah,
or
considering these schools. Yeah.
How in the world did he go into this not knowing who these guys were? I mean, that should have been the first warning sign. When you look at the roster, and they're supposed to have these guys that D1 athletes are, you know, being recruited, and you never heard of them. So Tom Luganville there. I mean, the whole broadcast crew, but I think it's fairly obvious from this debacle that there's not a whole bunch of prep work going into these high school broadcasts by ESPN.
No.
And the truth of it is, of all the guys out there, Tom Luganville knows who about three of them are.
All on IMG's team.
Probably. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or whoever's
playing.
And usually
that's how it works. I mean, last year they did an Arch Manning game. And that was why they were there, to see Arch Manning, and that's who he was spotlighted. I remember a few years ago where Junior Sanders, at Heritage Hall, they did one of those games. Well, he was the marquee guy, right? Turns out Shepard stole the show, but he was the guy, and they didn't know the offensive lineman. You know, they didn't.
No.
You know, they probably didn't know who was taking the snaps. Probably did out of necessity. So they're there to see those three guys or whoever at IMG. I get that. And there's some fans who want to see those guys perform. But then, after going back and seeing some highlights of this debacle and seeing what you said, Luganville was like, you could hear it. He's like,
oh, the middle of the second quarter, he's like, we got duped. I mean, you can just tell these guys should not be. I mean, he basically was saying that. these guys should not be on the field with IMG. So then it turns out, a bunch of those guys. So Bishop Sycamore plays on Friday, and then they turn around and play this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out a bunch of them really shouldn't have been out there because they're like JUCO college football players, and the head coach Ron Johnson has a bench warrant out for his arrest for a $100,000 loan that he is defaulted on. It just gets funnier and funnier. And so,
did they have cheerleaders? Did anyone notice if they had cheerleaders?
I do not know. I hope not. If it was,
I heard somewhere. Former Notre Dame linebackers. Monte Teo, his girlfriend is a cheerleader.
Lene Kakua.
Or she was a cheerleader.
Was that her name? Lene Kakua?
I mean, if we're just going to make up stuff, anything's possible with that school.
And so, you know, you think, okay, what is happening here? Well, it appears to me that Ron Johnson or somebody is the one making the money. Because if you're them, I mean, yeah, the exposure to what you're doing on ESPN, maybe that gets people to enroll. Maybe not when you get beat 58-0, but just a wild story. Wild story. And you know, it's funny to kind of listen. I was listening, driving home last night after a meeting, to the ESPN radio guys. It was Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and they were totally laying the blame for this onto, like, the third party group.
ESPN guys were
on ESPN radio, totally laying it off. And it's like, man,
we knew more about Pampa, Texas than they did about,
100%.
About Bishop Sycamore.
And so it's almost like, okay, the beginning, sure, you can blame the Paragon because they're the ones that set the game up initially. Feel free. But once you get that set, how in the world does it slip through the cracks?
That's what I'm saying. That's why it blows my mind. You can't do your homework enough. You can't. Not one person raised a red flag on this. In the entirety of ESPN, not one person questioned it. That's what, you know, here's the thing. This feels like this should be an awesome topic for a 30 for 30, but you'll never see it.
Oh, no.
Because ESPN.
It'll be egg on their face.
Yeah. So come on, Fox Sports, let's do something here. Come on, HBO Sports.
Yeah, what did they? Fox had some of these.
They tried. Yeah,
I can't remember what they were called, but anyway,
HBO's not bad when they get into the documentary side.
HBO can do some good stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, breaking news.
Yeah, I saw that
out
too.
Of New England. The Patriots have named Mac Jones the starting quarterback, and have cut Cam Newton.
So he's not even going to be the backup. They said.
Well, if he's not going to be the starter, it makes no sense to have that money. And I'm sure he doesn't want to hang out and be the backup to a rookie quarterback either.
Where could he land?
That's a great question. Where could Cameron Newton
2 weeks away?
Land?
2 weeks Thursday?
Yes. Two weeks Thursday.
For the NFL season. Yeah. No, that's going to be interesting where he finds a home. I don't know if there is one.
Philly would have been a natural fit until they traded for Minshew.
They got Minshew.
What about, you know, the rumors are running rampant around the league that the Dolphins are about to give up the boat for Deshaun Watson, which is just nuts.
So Cam in Houston?
Or maybe they don't make that trade, and maybe Cam battles Tua a little bit. Mm. Down there in Miami. Hmm. It'll be super interesting to see. Or maybe Cam Dunn. You know, or another spot, they picked up Fitzmagic there in Washington. That always seemed like a possible landing spot for Cam Newton once Ron Rivera got that job.
Yeah, reunite with him.
But, you know, the Fitzmagic signing maybe takes that out of play a little bit. Let's see.
No, I know a great place for Cam Newton.
Back up at Dallas?
No, he can go to Bishop Sycamore.
At least Tom Lugamill will know one of the players on the field for the other squad. So that's super interesting. I think everyone kind of had a little bit of a feeling this could happen with the way that Mac Jones has been able to excel in the preseason. He's looked totally comfortable in the games he's played behind center there in New England. And it also does seem like Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, the way they want to play offense, the skill set of Mac Jones suits that offense to a T, you know? And so, you know, maybe this is, here's my question. How much does Cam Newton get to blame the ridiculous COVID policy of the NFL right now for him being cut?
It's a great question.
Because those 5 days he was away from the team, Mac Jones got every single snap with the first teamers.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd hope he's vocal about something like that.
Because
don't you?
Yeah, I do. And here's you know, people are going to be screaming, well, he's unvaccinated. Well, guess what? All the studies that are out there, almost to a T, are saying the natural immunity from being infected with COVID-19 is way stronger than taking the vaccine. Mm. So by the science, Cam Newton is safer.
Yeah.
Because he had it.
Yeah.
And the natural immunity that creates then by taking a vaccine. Just super interesting.
Completely
though.
Agree. Yeah, it's interesting to see where this goes, where Cam Newton goes, you know, as far as taking that take. But where's he going to land? That's going to be the next interesting thing for me. That's where I'm going to keep my eye on.
I mean, we really
he doesn't want to be a backup.
Yeah, I know, but who can he start for?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
All right, let's see here.
I don't know where.
Buffalo? No.
No.
Miami? No. Obvious. Well, Miami, maybe. Let's keep that in the maybes.
That's a maybe pile.
New England, obviously not. Would the Jets? I think the Jets are totally in on the Zach Wilson train, right?
Sure sounds like it.
And he's been pretty good. Dallas? No. I mean, if you wanted to be a backup, I ain't mad at you, Jerry.
See, oh well,
an insurance policy for Dak.
Yeah, and they have, by the way, Dallas released DiNucci, and they say Gilbert will be the backup.
Garrett Gilbert will probably be the backup.
They released Cooper Rush too.
Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci. DiNucci threw another pick on the way out.
Yeah,
just for old time's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Finally caught up on Hard Knocks, just in time for tonight. Because I missed that game. Yeah, I mean, unless he can't accept the backup role, which I don't think Cam Newton's ready to do.
I'm just looking through
because there's a lot of places that would love to have him as a backup.
Oh, yeah. Dallas would be one of them.
But
what about Indy? Carson Wentz? It looked like he...
But do you want to be a placeholder until Carson Wentz is back?
Well, and it looked like he was going to start, and now he's in the COVID protocol.
Right.
So that's probably not a long-term solution. Houston... That's probably the one place where he could step right in and start.
Yeah.
What do they got? Davis Mills? Is he going to start? Rookie from Stanford? We don't think that Watson's playing, right? Tyrod Taylor? I guess maybe Tyrod Taylor would be the starter there.
Yeah.
Surely we think Cam Newton is better. Placeholder. Here you go. Placeholder will be all he is now. I think that's the truth.
That's what I'm saying.
He
that's
just
kind of what I was getting at.
Banged up, and this isn't 2015 anymore.
No.
You know, and think, I mean, he's taken a pounding for his entire career.
He has.
10-year career. So, you know, eventually Father Time does catch up, and that may be what we're seeing. But so now what do we think about? Does Mac Jones at the helm of the Patriots, what does that do for you and just looking forward and thinking about their prospects for the year? I think
Mac Jones, everyone's comparing him to a young Tom Brady. That's easy to do when he's wearing that same uniform and being coached by the same coach. But, you know, maybe it is a system thing, and that coach can make him the next Tom Brady. That's a reach, but a solid player in the NFL is what we're looking for. And then as far as the team's concerned, everyone really likes the Patriots with their youth. They've drafted well. Ramondre Stevenson looks like he could be a standout back if he can stay healthy and be as productive as he has been in the preseason. The upside for New England is really, really good, and I think this is a good move for them, cutting loose Cam Newton. I mean, stay young. Focus on your guys, your youth, your draft. Not your trades, but your draft guys that you got and build around them. I mean, I don't think we ever really believed that New England was going anywhere once Tom Brady left. They might have been down. They're going to be down, like last year, obviously. But I just wasn't really ready to write him off. Like, that's it. That's the end of the era. I think that maybe a new era could be beginning.
Yeah, and if everybody...
But listen, the preseason's totally different than...
It is.
You know, I think I heard... he was on with Mark Rogers last week. Yeah, he helped me here. He was a quarterback. OSU.
Brandon Whedon.
Thank you. I don't know why I call him Ben Whedon. That's weird. Anyways, he was on, and he said, I remember my first couple years, season, and he said, preseason, everything was slow, and it was. And I thought, man, this is going to be, the NFL's not going to be that hard. Then once the season started, hello. Mm-hmm. So, sure, all these guys can look good in the preseason, but once the lights come on week one, that's going to be the true litmus test.
Well, and here's the deal. The Patriots went 7-9 last year. And they were also, if you remember, affected by players sitting because of COVID.
Yeah.
More than just about anybody.
That is true.
Seemed like they had 6 or 7 guys that were going to be day one starters that they didn't have due to that. So you get those guys back. And quite frankly, you're just watching and listen, Cam wasn't terrible. I think he was like 14 of 21 for 170 yards in the preseason. That's not terrible, but... It did look like Mac Jones was just a fit.
He
looked so much better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
His arm seemed stronger than what I thought it was at Alabama. I mean, quite frankly, I thought he was just a product of playing with Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, and the rest.
Yeah, that's easy to say, too.
You know, but he does.
We've seen a lot of quarterbacks in college be the – and I've said that about Johnny Manziel forever.
Well, Sam Bradford, you could make that –
Jason White.
You know, make the case for those guys, you know, just had that so much skill talent. But it does look like his quote-unquote arm talent is a little bit better than what I thought it was. Because I thought he was far and away the fifth of the five.
Listen, Alabama doesn't go recruit a quarterback saying, we just need you to get it from point A to point B.
Not anymore.
We got guys around. You know, they're getting high-quality guys. So it probably shouldn't have been a shock to us that this guy from Alabama was going to win the starting job at New England.
Yeah, but he would also be the first one in this run to do anything in the pros.
Yeah.
You know, but the day, you're right.
Karen didn't do anything.
The days of Greg McElroy are over at Alabama.
That's true.
Interesting. So Mac Jones starting. Possum smiling because he took a flyer on Mac Jones.
Really?
I
didn't study everyone else's
fantasy draft
teams. Well, good for Possum. We'll see when the lights come on.
Enjoy that rookie quarterback, Possum. You have but a few days to get involved with what you ask. The Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em starts Saturday. Week 1, September 4th, Saturday. It's going to be a season-long contest. We're picking games against the spread, and the winner is going to get a great prize package, some tickets, some food. It's going to be awesome. You still have time to go to ESPN's website or our Skinny on Sports Facebook page, which has a link right to our group, The Skinny on Sports. So if you go through ESPN's website, click on the fantasy game, find College Pick'em. Once you do that, search groups, and you have to type in The Skinny on Sports. And that's the way you enter. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing to be able to come along and play with us all season long. Nearing the 30 mark. Fastly and furiously nearing the 30 mark.
That's some bragging rights, too.
I think we can get to 50. Let's get to 50. It's going to be a lot of fun. And listen, the beauty of this is going to be when you do good, you can text in and talk trash. When you do bad, I'll talk trash.
We will find you.
That's right. We'll hunt you down.
And talk trash.
Not really. We won't really hunt you down. But we might poke fun at your terrible picking.
We got to be careful. People are so sensitive. We can't talk trash.
Yeah, you can. Anyhow, come join us. Western Oklahoma Realty. College Pick'em. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property. Appreciate them along with us again this season. All right, so the big news around here yesterday in college football was the Oklahoma Tulane game has been officially moved to Norman, out of New Orleans. Obviously, the reasons why are right there on your TV screen.
There are bigger reasons in football. You know, it's a good move for everybody involved. And from everything I've seen from the OU fans and, I mean, just the fans, like on social media, now it's easy for them to say this because, hey, they get this bonus home game, but they're saying, hey, if you're tailgating, you see a Tulane fan, invite him in, give him food, help him out. You know, they've had to adjust to get over here. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool college football camaraderie being shown. I like it.
Yeah, I just read – I saw a tweet earlier today that said probably the largest ovation on Owen Field for a
– away team?
Away team since 2018 Army.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Army, yeah. I was at Air Force. What year was that? That was way back.
Air Force, like 2010. Yeah, I was there, too.
Yeah,
it was hot.
There's a lot of respect there for obvious reasons, but – yeah, you're right. I mean, these guys have been displaced in a way. I mean, well, literally from their campus to Birmingham, Alabama. Now their home game's being displaced right back into their opponent's stadium. It's an odd situation, but kudos to both OU and Tulane for making it work, because there is even question of even playing the game.
Well, see, that's I'm actually just – I mean, I know why it's being played. Money's a big part of it.
Of course.
And to maybe – you know, I guess I may contradict myself here, because I think it would be super hard for those guys. Like you said, they've been in Birmingham. They're going to be in Birmingham for the foreseeable future.
Their second game is even in question.
That's right. In the whole, so you know, it's with that happening, and you don't know what's going on back home really, without being able to be there. You know, how's your? I think it would be super tough mentally to focus on football, but at the same time, maybe this is the relief and kind of to step away from reality for 4 hours on a Saturday afternoon in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
to be able to do what you want to do and put
right.
real life kind of on the back burner and be able to play a football game.
And that's the glory of sports. It can be a healing mechanism, you know, an escape, if you will. From the real world. That's why we like sports. That's why we want politics out of our sports.
Yeah, it's
an escape. We can just watch a game and enjoy it and have fun. And, yeah, we hope that's something that is more therapeutic for Tulane, you know, because they're dealing with a lot, you know, because there's a lot. I don't know the roster, but I'm going to assume there are a lot of young men who have family that are affected by this storm. And it's heavy on their minds and hearts right now. So they want to play, too. I bet you they. I'm sure they do. I guarantee you they do.
Yeah, I think that's.
They don't care where. They're just glad that this game's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's really a tough break for the school, the city, you know, and for this to happen this way, because it's not very often that Tulane gets a brand like Oklahoma.
To come
down there.
Right. It's usually something like, well, it'll be played in the Superdome or something.
It's going to be on campus. It was going to be a boon to that athletic department from a financial standpoint and probably, you know, everything around there from the merchants and that kind of thing. So it's really sad. And here's
now,
the problem.
The merchants miss out. That's the sad thing. But the athletic department still
– they'll get something.
They're going to get something here, right?
They're not going to get made –
ticket sales still going to
– they're not going to get made whole. There's no way.
No, but my point is that tickets – where was the statement? I'm trying to find it. I mean, the ticket sales will go to Tulane, right?
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw they're like 30 or 50 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, these are going to be – they're going to go quick because they're only filling the lower bowl because OU has – they basically don't have enough staff, is from what I heard, to accommodate this in such short time. So they're going to only fill the lower bowl. And where was I seen? You're going to have to talk while I look for it.
Okay. I was reading this, but I didn't see anything in there. I'm sure everybody's thinking, okay, well, they'll just – because this was a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's going to have two home games. The next one's scheduled for 2024. The first one was played back in 2017, and then this game was going to be at Tulane. And your first inkling is, well, they'll just flip them and Oklahoma will go there in 2024. Well, that's not the way this works, because all the schedule is set so far in advance. And so without knowing it off the top of my head, you can probably find that pretty quick. You know, what does OU's schedule look like moving forward in 2024? You know, if you're on the road with another, you know, you're not just gonna give that game up,
right?
Because it's scheduled so far in advance.
I found what it said. Even with the change in venue, Tulane will be the designated home team. We know this for this game, and will retain all net proceeds from ticket sales.
Okay. Which that makes sense.
Totally. Now, where did you see that the likelihood of OU wearing their classic road whites at home would take place? That was more of a wishful thinking for me. Are you seeing more concrete evidence of this?
Curtis said it on the way in. Curtis Fitzpatrick.
Was he guessing, or did
he said it kind of as a statement, like, we'll see the road whites. Yeah, here you go. Looking forward to 2024. This is why OU's not going to give this game up. They've got Temple at home, then they go to Tennessee, which that could be a conference game by then. But
that's true.
You know, to Tennessee and then hosting Tulane. So OU's not going to give up. They already give up one home game because of the Texas game down in Dallas. And they're clearly not going to give that up and have two, you know, non-conference games that are on the road and end up with a five-game home schedule possibly. You know, that's just simply not going to happen. But that's good that
if there was any indication that they were willing just to flip this, then we wouldn't see what I just read. Like,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, we wouldn't see that. They'd say, okay, this is an OU home game. And so I'm sure that was part of the deal, air quoting there, the deal that both athletic directors came up with. It's like, listen, we got a venue, but it's going to be your home game. You're gonna see some money from this.
Well, and you know what? What I said earlier may not be right then, because you're looking at $34,000 down there. What do you think the lower bowl gets? $65,000 or $70,000? Somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I was trying to think of what the capacity used to be.
Well, actually, before they bowled it in, it was more. Did you know that?
No, I'm talking about before the upper deck on the east side.
I don't know. I can't remember.
You can extract. Anyway, yeah. I bet it's somewhere around $70,000. Yeah. So, I mean, that's double the size, double the crowd, double the tickets sold.
It may end up getting them
a little bit closer to whole from a ticket standpoint, but all the other revenues.
Well, the outside that are the lost, stadium that's revenues right. are gone, and yeah.
All right, on the field. Obviously, we don't expect that one to be super duper close. What interests you coming up this weekend from a conference standpoint and then around the country?
Outside of this game?
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the schedule. The rest of the country, obviously Clemson, Georgia is the one game this weekend, and I'm circling. That one and maybe Alabama, Miami. Everyone wants to try to hype that game up like it's going to be good, but you can see at the end of the first quarter, Alabama up by two scores, if not more. But the Georgia-Clemson game, I think, has so much – could create so much of a shockwave throughout the country with the season moving forward, regardless of the outcome. Either we'll know, A, Clemson's still Clemson, or B, Georgia is a national title contender. And some have already pegged them to be a national title contender. I'm a little hesitant right there on that one. But if they go out there and say beat Clemson by 10 plus, then absolutely, everybody will take notice. So that game right there, just the implications of it all, is why I'm very interested in it. Regardless of the outcome, there's going to be huge implications of it.
Yeah, I go back and forth on who can afford the loss more.
I think they both could in a weird way. Maybe Georgia can't. I don't know. Georgia can survive we've seen that, right? We've seen SEC teams come out with two losses because they're in the SEC. Could Clemson afford a loss to this SEC team, and then it's more of a black eye to them going down the road when it comes down to playoff consideration?
I think they could, because I think they've got a better chance to win the rest of their games in Georgia.
That's
just because of the schedule. playing in the ACC versus the SEC. And Georgia, I mean, their schedule, when you look at it for an SEC schedule, it is super light. They play two teams in the regular season that is ranked in the preseason AP poll. This one and Florida. Outside of that, nobody else is ranked on that schedule. Now, will somebody creep up and be better than people think? Maybe. You know, Auburn, Arkansas are some teams that might, you know, we'll see. But when you, you know, maybe for an SEC schedule, Georgia's got it pretty light, even if they lose this game.
Yeah.
But then you still have.
You can navigate the East pretty.
But you still have that monster at the end that you're going to have to win. There's no way you lose in the lose in the SEC championship game and still make the playoff. That's not happening.
Need a lot of help.
I mean, yeah. That's just not.
It's not really in the cards, but you need a lot of help. A lot of help.
Clemson-wise, not surprisingly, their schedule is super-duper light. This is the only game that they have against a team that's ranked in the preseason top 25. So that's why I think Clemson can absorb the loss easier to still make a run and be a one-loss conference champ. But, you know, both of them, I think, can. Neither one's going to be – the storyline isn't going to be after the game that either one of these are out.
Yeah. Conference-wise, game of the week, it has to be Louisiana at Texas, right?
100% for me.
Yeah, that one.
I am so interested to see what happens.
Yeah.
So Sarkisian came out yesterday and announced that Hudson Card, redshirt freshman, is going to start, but also that Casey Thompson's going to play.
That is a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
I wonder why. Because
he hasn't decided yet.
Does he not want
Thompson to say, then I'm out. I've been here for this long. If you're not going to name me the starter, new coach, I mean, he probably thought about it when the new coach was hired. It's like, no. I came here to play for Herman. So it's probably a way to keep him on campus, to promise him playing time.
I think there's a bunch of different scenarios. That's 100% right. I mean, that's why you wait, because of the portal and the ease of transfers. You want to have as much depth as you possibly can. I totally agree with that. But from the competition standpoint of it, I'm so fascinated to see, because the last thing we saw of Casey Thompson was that he looked like the future of the quarterback position at Texas down in that bowl game against Colorado. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And really looked like an upgrade over what they had with Ellinger for the last couple of years, 4 years, whatever it was.
Seven. It was more like seven.
So
yeah.
It fascinates me. Is this okay, we'll give the kid a chance. And if he doesn't, but what if Hudson Card goes out and leads him to two touchdowns right off the bat?
Yeah.
Then how does that go? It's pretty fascinating that he's kind of boxed himself into playing both in a game that, ask Iowa State how it is opening with Louisiana at home. They found out last year it's not all that much fun.
Yeah.
So it's intriguing. Texas is one of the most intriguing teams around the country because you could see with Sarkisian's track record of quarterback coaching and the quarterback play that he's been able to coax out of his guys, you could see Texas being awesome. Bijan Robinson is the real deal at running back. Everyone agrees with that. Can they block? And do they really? Is one of these guys going to step up and be a really good quarterback? We'll find out. But you know, my thoughts on them are all over the map, because there's part of me that thinks, oh yeah, Texas is going to be in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
And then there's another part of me that thinks, well, if they don't have a quarterback yet, they clearly don't, in their minds at least, or unless there's something kind of fishy going on, because no one separated themselves from the other. You know, there's a lot of variable there with Texas.
So the rest of the Big 12, there's some intriguing matchups. Some, you know, probably when they were scheduled 4 or 5 years ago, they look like they could be intriguing matchups. You know, one that's kind of standing out to me that I'm just really interested in?
Tech Houston?
No, South Dakota, Kansas, because it might be their only chance to win a game. and if that doesn't happen, oh my goodness.
Not so fast, my friend. I think South Dakota beat them a couple years ago.
I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah, Tech Houston looks good. Stanford, Kansas State, and Jerry World could be interesting. Looking what I want to see what if Deuce Vaughn is the real deal. West Virginia at Maryland. Never know. Could be a fun game. Even Northern Iowa at Iowa State. That's not an easy game for Iowa State. Didn't Northern Iowa beat them a couple years ago?
Got close. Maybe an overtime game or something?
Yeah, overtime. You're right.
Like a 29-26
overtime?
Could
Iowa State be overlooking Northern Iowa before their big matchup with Iowa?
It would sure be easy to do, you would think.
So there's a lot of – I mean, there's some intrigue in the conference. You know, and of course the OU – For the first time, I'm going to guess, in the illustrious history of Oklahoma football, they're the away team in Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, 29-26 in triple overtime in 2019. Oklahoma State has Missouri State, Bobby Petrino, coming to town, hopefully not on his motorcycle, because that didn't work out very well the last time he jumped on one of those. It's simple, easy game for the Pokes. They're going to blow Missouri State out.
Sanders play?
I don't think so. Doesn't sound like it. So we might see a little Shane Illingworth. But, you know, Oklahoma State's season really starts next week with Tulsa. That is
and according to Coach Pat.
I know, you're already hearing Pat saying it's going to be a field goal game.
Yeah, good game day there.
It was a close one last year.
Yeah.
So
should be,
a little tune-up for the Pokes this
should
week.
Should be interesting.
Against Missouri State.
Interesting Saturday.
You mentioned Bama. There's one kind of off the radar that I'm wondering about. That's that Thursday night. The Ohio State going to Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
We'll see about
good
the Gophers.
Year last year. Yeah.
There's some good games in the pack, in the Big Ten. Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa. Is it Iowa, Indiana?
Yeah, the Big Ten has got really good at
Iowa, Indiana,
at getting some conference games early in the year.
Yeah, and then
obviously Illinois, Nebraska. Now, was it a good game? Probably two bad teams on the field.
Oh, well, no, probably
is,
about
it
that.
It is what it is, but it was still better than UCLA, Hawaii. You know?
That's an interesting one.
UCLA and
LSU.
I don't know.
Will there be more than $10,000 in the stands?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there wasn't very many more than that against Hawaii.
Can they go? I mean, is California still?
That game was kind of the opening up of the.
So they say you can go.
Yeah.
Wear your hazmat suits. And
nobody
go.
Went.
And nobody went.
Sunday night. Notre Dame, FSU, down in Tallahassee. Is that down in Tallahassee? Can Mike Norvell get the Florida State Seminole train rolling down the tracks at all?
No.
Not yet?
I don't think so. Yeah, it is in Tallahassee. And yeah. It is at night.
Yeah, 6:30.
And it is Sunday night.
Sunday night. And then the Monday night game is Ole Miss and Louisville. Ole Miss and Louisville. You could see Matt. What is it? Coral? Matt Coral?
Ask Tyler, our real estate guy.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Sign up. Get those picks done.
Western Oklahoma Realty. College Pick'em.
I think you got until the first game on Saturday, which is actually the OU game on the list.
That's right. So yeah, time. And here's the deal. I think it's going to allow you to pick up until the kickoff.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
that's
so
what you have up.
But the other games you can pick later on in the day. By the way, that Mac Jones starting for the Patriots, you know who they play to start the season? Game one?
I should know this. I don't know what is it. Who they play?
The Dolphins. So we got Mac and Tua.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Interesting stuff.
How about this picture? There's a picture in the locker room at Alabama with three guys standing there.
Is it Mac Jones, Tua, and Jalen?
It is.
Yeah. So they're claiming Jalen is a...
They're going to claim him back.
They're claiming him back.
Mac Jones. You know, this is a... It's interesting because with the proliferation of the transfer portal, especially for quarterbacks, he's a shining example of not doing that.
Just say that again.
With the he's a great example of sticking with it where you originally went.
Yeah.
And finding success.
Yeah, I think that was a big storyline.
A lot of people would have thought he was never going to see the field.
Right. Look at the guys that are in front of him.
And instead, Jalen leaves, Tua gets hurt, Mac Jones steps in, and then bam, last year happens, and now he's the starting quarterback for New England.
See, kids, pays to be patient.
It does. This week's kind of a little look ahead at this week's high school football.
Got some marquee games you want to talk
Thursday about? Will be in Southeast.
That's right.
In Oklahoma City.
Not Southeast Oklahoma.
No, that's Southeast Oklahoma City. The Spartans.
Yeah.
The Elks and Spartans. Clinton's at Woodward. Weatherford hosts Kingfisher.
Could be interesting.
Could be very interesting. There was one. Who was it? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. 4-4-A-1. Ah. Bethany John Marshall.
Ah.
Bethany pulled what some people thought was an upset over Jones last week. So the Broncos looking to go back-to-back. They host John Marshall.
By the way, the new AP pulls out, and they got
Friday.
Bethany ranked.
Do they?
Yep.
Not surprising, and that's a big win. I mean, Jones is, what, top five in 3A? That makes sense.
Let's see here. I got it right here. Jones. Oh, stupid pop-ups.
He may have fell.
They are not in this AP top five.
Okay, so they shot down the list.
They didn't even get receiving votes.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe that wasn't as big a win as we thought.
Maybe not. But Jones is kind of that team that, ranked or not ranked, they're pretty good sometimes.
Carson May, the quarterback. He's a D1 type guy. Anyway.
Bethany, they jumped from not ranked to 9.
Cash
is ranked 10th.
Cash, I figured, would be ranked 2.
They were not ranked. They were tied for 10th, with Bristow.
After that win over El Reno. Locally, you got Cordell and Rush Springs. You got Merritt and Mangum. You've also got Sayre hosting Oklahoma Christian Academy.
And that's where you'll be.
I will be there. You'll be at Merritt.
Be at Merritt.
Hanging out.
Helping out our new guy. Hope everyone welcomes him over there at Merritt Land.
Jess Moore.
He brings more to the broadcast.
He just brings more.
He just got here. And now he's actually probably here.
Yeah, probably right down the
he's
hall.
Probably down actually. The hall.
Did you happen to see, I was listening on the way over, did you see that school board meeting in Virginia?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I'm scared to death to play it because
I'd love to be at a Bishop Sycamore school board meeting.
You have to, everyone, if you haven't seen it, pull up Richmond, Virginia school board meeting. It gets down to the end of the public comment time.
Okay.
And somebody, Bart Simpson, wrote down a whole bunch of names that are pretty funny. Not real people. And the guy just keeps on saying them.
And nobody
corrects him.
Or
nobody's doing anything. He's just reading
just taking it?
All these crazy names.
What? And,
like, the last one was Wayne Kerr.
Oh, dear.
There's some others as well. And I was just thinking, man, how funny would it be to watch Brandon Storm do that? Surely, but he's got a sense of humor, so he'd probably catch it. You know what I mean? He'd go, oh, yeah, right, whatever. These guys aren't really on the list. They're not real people. Oh, man, it is hilarious. I would play it, but I'm scared to death.
Yeah, you know.
Of what
yeah.
they had it bleeped out.
Yeah.
And I just, on some of them, but man, it was
Back
hilarious.
To the AP rankings. You know, we didn't mention Mountain View, I don't think, last week. They're number 3 in Class C.
They made a good run last year.
They got a first-place vote, too. Laverne 1 and Class B, Shattuck 2. No surprise there. Class A, Thomas dropped from wherever they were. It doesn't say previous, but they're at 9 now.
Yeah, they were in the top 5 for sure.
I got some insight on that. I'll show you off air. It's interesting. I think Watonga's going to be a lot better than what a lot of people thought.
Yeah, Watonga's at Hobart. You know, Hobart took a beating
from Fairview.
Look what happened
to Hobart. Yeah. But Tonga's not ranked. I'm thinking they might be after Friday night if things go well.
The big one in the state, obviously, Bixby and Jinx.
That is huge.
The 6A1 champ versus the 6A2 champ.
Both Bixby, number one in Division 1.
Right. Yeah. And Bixby put 57 on them 2 years ago at Jinx?
Yeah.
57-0 or 59-0.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting one.
They have that long winning streak. Jinx would love to snap. That's going to be a good one. Union, who do they play? Union's got a good one, too. Is it Owosso?
Are they out of state, or are they?
Owosso's Fayetteville. It's Broken Arrow. Broken Arrow and Union, I think.
That could be good. Broken Arrow 4.
Yeah, Broken Arrow Union.
That could be good. It's going to be Carl Albert. Where they? Who they got?
Mm-hmm. At Midwest City.
Oh, okay. So a little inner city rivalry.
Midwest City
there.
Took a beating by one of the Texas schools. McKinney Boyd, 37-0.
Ouch. I mentioned Carl Albert because they're number one in 5A.
My little preview, Heritage Hall and Millwood Thursday.
Hey, that's Thursday.
Get an idea of what's coming out to Clinton in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
High school football. We'll talk about a whole bunch more of it tomorrow, Thursday, leading up into week one on the high school football schedule. Go watch that school board video. Seriously, it is hilarious. Richmond, Virginia school board meeting. Don't do it while driving. You may drive off the road. It is so funny. Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back in the morning. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!